is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Iran sought to distance itself from a deadly attack on U.S. base in Jordan, writes the London Telegraph. Very good information from the Ministry of Defense. As Joe Biden faced mounting pressure to respond fiercely against the Islamic Republic, the remark from the foreign ministry in Tehran, resistance groups in the region do not take orders from the Islamic Republic of Iran. I mentioned that the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom also commenting, Mr. Sunak, said, "We stand resolutely with our allies to bring stability and peace to the region, and that's what we'll continue to work for." He mentions that Iran needs to de-escalate Middle East tensions. One more quote. This is politics in the USA. We're in an election cycle. Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, said that the president must act. That's a political remark entirely, but it's pertinent to what's going on right now in the U.S. I welcome my colleagues, Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long War Journal. And Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. Gentlemen, Tower 22, I'm told, is the name of the base that was struck by a drone that caused three KIA, many injured. It struck the barracks, I believe, the housing, the personnel there. Tower 22 is an extension of a series of bases between Jordan and Syria that have been in place for many years, combating ISIS and other bad elements in the Syrian civil war. Tower 22 had minimal air defenses. Bill, I come immediately to you because you've been watching this area for years. And when the Iran-backed militia started salvoing into our bases in Iraq and Jordan, you said it was only a matter of time. The U.S. has responded with airstrikes, I believe, 8 times. But now this looks to be a much bigger response. Tower 22, is it integral to the actions in Syria? Are we talking about a large series of bases that are vulnerable, or is this an outlier? Did they just get lucky, Bill? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I don't think they got lucky. I think when you conduct enough attacks, the latest I've heard is there's been nearly 170 strikes against U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria. Keep in mind, this base, Tower 22, is in Jordan. First strike that I'm aware of that it took place in Jordan. That may have something to do with this. I suspect that perhaps its air defenses may not have been up to snuff with the other bases. But the U.S. has 900 troops in Syria and another 2,500 in Iraq. They're spread a couple of hundred troops per base. There's about, I don't know the exact number of bases, but a handful of bases inside Syria. And in Iraq, they're a little bit more concentrated. So, but these militias, they have, you launch enough attacks. One, the U.S. military had to be successful in repelling the attacks 100% of the time in order to prevent casualties. And the militias just needed to get one through. You launch 150 plus strikes, the odds are good that one is going to get through. And this is exactly what happened. I predicted this. Not that it would be, you needed to be a genius to do this, but it was a matter of time. And we said in late October that this was going to happen. And it indeed did. And again, it's one of those times you wish you were wrong. But the real problem here, John, the administration thinks that deterrence means we can launch an occasional strike, tell our enemies that we don't want escalation, and pretend that the enemy is going to de-escalate. All they hear is, we don't want to escalate. And the enemy says, great, we'll keep attacking you. This is what happens. And John, I'm of the mind here that I don't think deterrence can be restored at this point in time. Perhaps it could have in the early stages with strong messaging strikes, targeting leaders and key nodes for both the militias and Iran. But after 150, anything the U.S. does now is going to be retaliatory. It's going to be viewed as such. And I think we're going to see a continuing escalation of this conflict until the U.S. either gets serious. And that would mean, mean war with Iran. And this administration is not geared to do that. Or the U.S. leaving Iraq and Syria. I think those are the only two options. Neither are good. And given the administration's inability to maintain Afghanistan, its failures in Ukraine, which we're watching deteriorate daily, and its inability to do something in the Red Sea, what makes us think that war with Iran with this administration is going to have the outcome that we all want.
Mr. Ambassador, good evening to you. The politics of this are so complicated, I'll just say that right now it appears that The Economist magazine last couple of weeks has been focusing on the idea that this is about the U.S. and Iran going to war and that there's great peril. That's the overall picture that the London Economist sees. Do you see that risk as well, that we're creeping, it's a creeping barrage towards Tehran versus Washington?
Well, Tehran versus Washington was inevitable, especially after the U.S. started pulling out of the region. Tehran got encouraged. They thought, we can fill the vacuum. The greater Middle East has always had some external power kind of playing the behind-the-scenes role in handling local conflicts. The U.S. totally pulled out of it. And so the local conflicts now sort of are to be settled by force, and Iran, which is an anti-American power here, wants to settle them in a way in which anybody who has any residual feeling of being an American ally stops being an American ally. And so to protect them, America will have to get involved. Here's the problem, John, as I see it. After 9/11, America overextended itself in the region and went far more than it needed to go. Then its reaction was, let's just get out of it. The Americans need to find a sensible middle where they can engage and act as a deterrent. And as Bill said, that moment may have gone. And then the other is, if you're going to have wars, make those wars decisive rather than prolong them by getting bogged down with all kinds of things on the ground. And the U.S. right now doesn't, as a nation, doesn't seem to be in that frame of mind where it can actually find that sensible middle of what to do. And so it has interests, and those interests transcend just energy. It certainly, you know, even if Americans feel strongly enough about protecting Israel, how are they going to protect Israel if every country in the region comes under the sway of forces that are inimical to Israel? So something has to be done. Nobody knows what is to be done. And Washington's discourse is all about Donald Trump and his legal problems, etc. No one is really even paying attention to this. I mean, you and I are talking about it, but it, turn on every other radio station in the U.S. and every other television channel. Nobody is really paying attention. And when nobody is paying attention, local powers always try to assert themselves. That's what Iran is trying to do right now.
Bill, the strike could be going out right now as we speak. So I ask you, in general, these bases in Iraq and in Jordan and in Syria, where the U.S. is exposed to this kind of peppering fire, we can believe there's more coming in. Are they successful basing? It seems to me it's left from another age when ISIS was a threat. What is it that they're accomplishing exposed like this?
Yeah, the mission, John, is to fight ISIS. But I think we could see at this point that that mission has been superseded. Look, I essentially view these troops as being hostage to the Iranian-backed militias at this point. The U.S. can't respond forcefully to these attacks because it might invite larger attacks. Right now, they're being hit with missiles, with drones, with mortars and rockets, and the occasional ballistic missile, which, think about that. These Iran-backed militias don't develop ballistic missile capabilities. They get them from the Iranians. That's been the focus of the strikes. What happens if these militias, which number in the hundreds of thousands of fighters, decide to mobilize and actually launch ground assaults on these bases? Sure, a lot of militiamen would be killed, but it's very likely that some of these smaller bases would be overrun. In Iraq, Iraqi troops are responsible for securing most, the perimeters of these bases. What if those Iraqi troops step aside? These are the problems. So, back to your question, they were there. The mission is there to fight the Islamic State. Could they even reasonably do this, conduct this mission, when they're under repeated attack by these militias and are under threat from being overrun at some point. That's the real, that's, this is what I worry about. If the U.S. retaliates in a way to the strike that killed three American soldiers, that isn't forceful enough to stop these militia attacks to get the Iranians to force them to stop. These militias can continue to escalate, and we may see a base or two get overrun. That is my real fear. And that's what the U.S. this administration needs to seriously think about, whether it's going to reinforce these bases or leave. That's, those are the two options that they have. Neither are desirable or, as Hussein had properly noted, politically acceptable to this administration.
Escalation is the word. It doesn't just apply to Jordan, Iraq, and Syria. It applies to the Red Sea, certainly applies to the Gulf. And then again, it applies to Pakistan and Iran. When we come back, we'll speak to the ambassador about exchanges of friendliness between the two, and then trouble. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.